Let's open our Bibles to the book. Let's go to the book of James first. James chapter 2. We've been teaching on the topic of faith for the past several times I had a chance to teach. I want to go back there again today. There's more that God wants to say to us on this concept and this important reality of walking by faith. Today I want to teach on the topic of faith and corresponding action. Say faith and corresponding action. Now in James chapter 2, verse 14, we'll pick up. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm, be filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needful for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that his faith was working by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that the faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Amen. We're talking about faith and corresponding action. Now, let's be clear, because when you read Paul's epistles and you read this epistle from James, there appears to be a conflict. Because the Apostle Paul, look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then in Galatians 2:16, Paul went on to say, he said that knowing that a man is justified by works of the law, not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus. So then, where's the problem? Because James said, without works, faith is not perfected. Not perfected. And then Paul is saying, no, we're saved by faith with no works at all. So what's the problem? There's no problem. There's no problem. Well, the problem is a lack of understanding on our part. But what James is talking about is not, first he's talking to believers, not unbelievers. And he is reminding us of a very important point that may have been lost upon those who were only listening to Paul. That is, if you have faith in God, true faith is going to display evidence or corresponding action. Actions follow faith. People of faith don't just say, "I have faith." You can watch how they live. People of faith live a certain way. Now, listen, we're not doing our works to prove to God anything. We're not even trying to prove to ourselves anything. We don't do works to prove anything. We only do works because it's a part of a genuine Christian life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, we can say this, though. That said, if folks have a kind of faith that does not have actions or works, then we could probably conclude that person's faith is not the right kind of faith. Because, listen, y'all, the faith in God will cause you to move, to act, to think differently. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so I think that's what James was addressing, what he saw by the Spirit of God as a problem. In the text, he brought out the fact that if you saw somebody in need and had the means by which to help them, the need was genuine. And if you just said to them, by faith, my brother, be warm and be filled. I'm believing God with you. Be encouraged. God loves you so much. Hallelujah. But then did nothing to help them. That's the kind of faith that doesn't make a difference in other people's lives or in your own life. So he just, I think Peter, James here is simply making it very clear that the kind of faith that Jesus Christ gave us, the kind of faith he walked in, was a faith that had enough evidence to convict people of being Christians. Amen, somebody. All right. Now, he also said this in the text in James chapter 2. He said this. All right, someone will say, you have faith, I have works. He said, now show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, here's the point to that. Neither statement is true. That is to say that one person cannot say, I have faith without works, and a person cannot say, I have faith because of my works. Neither is true. What's true is, if the faith we have is faith in God, and that has placed a new nature in us, or caused a new birth to happen to us, then we have been changed, Spirit of God lives in us, and our motivation has changed. Is that right? I always say this, you know, it seems amazing to me that on these professional teams, basketball, football, just say basketball, for example. Now, why would a coach ever have to say to basketball players, come on, guys, let's play ball. Play hard. Play hard every play. Don't just, come on, man. We're only paying you $10 million a year. Why you got to tell a professional basketball player to play ball? Right? And some guys find out that if they don't play hard, some guys get cut. Because we want a basketball team full of people who play ball. Every time the ball is rolled out there, we're going to play. Whether it's practice or the game, we're going to play ball. Well, the idea is that we are Christians. And Christians are identified by our faith in God. And that faith looks like something that we're doing in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? Amen. That faith looks like worship, looks like prayer, looks like serving others, looks like giving and sowing seed, giving tithes and offerings. I mean, this faith looks like people who care about other people. This faith looks like people who are not as interested in lots of things around in the world as they are in things of God. But yet, look what happens. If we are not listening to James, then we're in that situation where we say we have faith, but no works, and he called that dead faith. Dead faith. Now, can a Christian have dead faith and be a Christian? Yeah, it's possible. Sometimes Christians lose their way. Amen? Sometimes Christians start out real strong and happy and joyful and on fire for God, and enough things happen. Trials come, difficulties come, folk get discouraged, happens to all of us, and folk can actually go to that place of kind of going through the motions. You know, they used to pray for real. Now they pray, oh, okay, it's prayer time, I pray a couple minutes, I pray a minute, I pray, oh, I won't pray at all, I just think it. I pray in my mind. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people sometimes, when they lose heart, their faith goes from being active to being dead. Now, I won't comment on a person's soul. I can't judge anybody's soul. But James, Apostle James, said that faith by itself, if it have not works, is dead. Or we say corresponding action. The word works is better really understood as corresponding actions. Now, I'm known, you know, to be a Bible teacher. I'm known to be a technology person, all that, and so that I'm known for those things because I actually do those things. I teach and I write blogs and write books and put things out every week. You know, words always going forth because that's what I do. It's who I am. I cannot go a whole week and not write something, and not share some encouraging word, because that's what my faith leads me to do. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now we're in a summertime now. Everything's growing. You know, fruit trees are growing, fruits come out now, everything's growing nicely. And I want you to go stand by an apple tree sometime, stand by the tree and watch that tree. and watch the apple and watch the apple tree and tell me if you hear the tree groaning, trying to make these apples come out. Tell me if the tree is like, ugh, come on, apple, come on, apple. Tell me if you see that. Guess what? You won't see that. Why is a tree, an apple tree, not straining to bring forth apples? Why? It's an apple tree, right? Now, stand by an apple tree and look for oranges or peaches or pears, that's going to be a problem. My point is, obviously, that when you are the planting of the Lord, when you're the tree of God, when you have Christ in you, it's not a strain for us to put out the fruit that looks like Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Y'all receive that? He gave examples. He said that a person said, well, I believe in God. Now, folk often say that, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. And James came back and said, okay, guess what? The devil believe in God. Devils believe too. So to say you believe in God, that's all you got, then you're no better off than a demon in terms of what they believe. Belief alone won't bring us home. Amen, church? Because demons don't follow Jesus. They believe in him because he rebuked them. He cast them out. He stomped on them. He just defeated them. So they know, they believe in God. But our difference is obviously that we believe and we follow God. We believe and we serve God. He says this, going on, says, verse 21, Abraham was justified by works when offered up Isaac his son. Now remember that story back when Abraham was called the father of faith. He was tested in his faith and devotion to God. And God said to him, take your son, your only son, whom you love. He said that to whom you love, and offer him up on this altar up here. And Abraham did it. He went that direction. Now, the Bible says, or the places that the Bible says, two things. First of all, Abraham, he received Isaac back from the dead, meaning that if he had the sacrifice, he knew he's coming back because that's the son God promised him, all right? Bible also tells us now that Abraham gathered the wood and got everything necessary to make a sacrifice and went walking up the hill with his son. And, the son seeing what's going on. Son knows what sacrifice looked like. He said, Daddy, what's happening here? We're going up the hill, son. He said, okay. Well, I see we got wood here. You got a knife. You got some fire. And where's the sacrifice? Abraham could have said, you're it. No, he didn't. He said, no. His faith knew. His faith and his works were working together so well. He understood God and God's nature, okay? He knew that God wasn't going to take away the son he already gave him. Some of us are not clear about that, or clear about what God is doing, what the devil's doing, all right? I might be in a funeral, people say, well, God, he took this angel out of here. God took him out in this drive-by shooting. I don't think so. No, God didn't take that loved one in the drive-by shooting. He may have allowed it. It obviously happened, okay? But don't assign stuff to God if you don't know God, don't talk about God. Amen. I just say it like that. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, people talk about God like they, talk about cars. They talk about cars and what kind of engine is that? Oh, it's a V8 in there. That's a V6. Oh, yeah. Well, it sounds like a V8 in there. I mean, folks, sometimes we have this habit of going places and not knowing where we're going. Right? I love it when someone, I told you my old story back in the day, I thought I was, well, I wasn't saved, but I knew about God. How about that? That's a crazy mix. I wasn't saved, but I know about God. So me and my friends talk about God. I led the discussion. We were pooling our ignorance. Pool it together, pool together. So then we found our friend, they're just kids, 18, 19. We up all night talking about God. And then Ronnie was saved. He's going to come by the house. We heard in the morning time. We up all night and hanging out doing this. And so here come Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie, got some questions for you, man, about God. Ronnie said, Brian, do you know God? Do you know Jesus? I said, well, no. Well, what do you know? Well, I know God. Tell me something that you know. Well, I said this. He said, well, how was that? Explain that to me.
I said, well, you know.
Now, it helped me. I'm telling you a story today because God used that to remind me faith without works is dead. Just trying to hold a thought and embrace a truth that you've not studied. We should, listen, y'all, we should be students of the things we are talking about. Say that. Say, I should be a student of the things I'm talking about. Amen. I don't care what it is, politics, tech, whatever, sports. Come on, somebody. All right. So then this is the problem we have, and a text shows this issue that James identified the problem. Is fundamentally the problem is there's an embrace of some kind of faith, but no corresponding action. Another example he gave here in James chapter 2. Look over here, please, at, we'll finish the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, when he went to the altar and tied his son down and was doing all that God said do and was prepared, you know, to do the sacrifice, again, knowing that he received his son back from the dead in a figure, the Bible says. But then God says, hold on, stop. There's a ram over in the bush there. Horn caught in the thicket. Go get that. Now, what Abraham said when his son said, Lord, where's sacrifice? Father, where's sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. See, Abraham said, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. See, Abraham knew that God would handle it. So then, sure enough, he got up there. The moment of truth came, and God said, there's a sacrifice. Get that one. And God said, now I know you love me. Now I know you love me more than even your own son. You know, God is still testing us. Say, God is still testing me. But I got good news for you. Don't panic. It's just a test. Remember the fire drills we had in school? We had fire drills in daycare, you know. Get ready for it. Thing goes off. Everybody go run to, walk to the exits. Go stand outside. And I stayed inside. Pastor, you coming out? I'm coming out there. That's for y'all, not for me. Put my earphones in. I did, after 10 years, I got tired of going out there, okay, somebody? After 10 years of fire drills, I figured, you know what? I had enough fire drills, all right? So the thing is, we have to practice the behavior of faith. Now, look, let's go down to, let's look at Exodus 23. Now, the issue we have going on and a problem with corresponding works not following our faith is that we have the wrong kind of works, the wrong kind of focus for our works going on. For example, look here, Exodus 23, verse 24. Now, we as believers in Christ have a distinctive culture. We have a distinctive lifestyle, all right? And it's based around God's word and the Bible and the things of God. So it says here, interesting statement, 23 chapter of Exodus, 23rd chapter, verse 24 says, and you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. What does that mean? Well, God is telling Israel, his people, how to live, how to function in a world where other people don't believe what you believe. And he said, among other things there, don't worship their gods, do not serve their gods, and watch this, and nor do according to their works. This is pretty strong here, y'all. Watch this now. Watch this. Their works. Say, their works. Every group of people, every culture, every lifestyle has their distinctive set of works. Now, when I was in a college, in a fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, Phi Nu Pi, Yo Nu, all that, okay? I was there, okay? We had our own works. Handshake. We had certain phrases we did. On the weekend, we partied every weekend. And if we weren't partying, we were planning the party. You know what I'm saying? if we're off one weekend, we're just planning for the party. Our nickname, we were animals and pretty boys. That tell you a lot about us, you know. Not too good either, but we were that, okay? And we had our board meetings, and we had our budget. We had alcohol in the budget. We had dope in the budget. Dope in the hospitality room, put the paper in the window. We had dope in the budget. Now, Cap Alpha Psi is better than that. Now, Cap Alpha Psi is better than that, okay? I want you to know that. We were not. The frat is better, okay? The history is quite good. We just lost our way. My point is, those are our works, right? We walked around. It's those stupid, crazy things we did. Had certain kind of bossy hats, you know, stingy brim with the fur on it and all that. All that, okay. Those were our works. Now the Q's had something going on. The Alphas, you know, they were all of us were like kind of similar. We're all jacked up, just a different phase and form of being jacked up. All right. The point is, these were our works. You follow me? These were our works. And now Pastor Mark was a Kappa, but Pastor Mark didn't go with that. He was saved, didn't go with none of that stuff. You know, we go to his place. He was, you know, I was pledged unto him. We go to his place, and he would preach to us. We're like, man, we watch the closets like, they're going to jump out here in a minute. You know, they're going to, because see the thing, what we were, hazing was big back then. Hazing of being beat, you know, you beat. It's just crazy stuff going on, okay? But Mark would preach, you know, we're like, okay, where they at, you know what I'm saying? Something wrong with this picture. He's preaching. Nothing crazy happening, you know? Because these aren't the works with which we're familiar. But why do people have, why is that the work? You know, why is that what we're known for now? Why are we so steeped in things that do not look like what the Bible says? Why are we not doing the ministry and reaching out and saving lives and touching people the way we know we can? Y'all all right? Amen. Do not bow down to their gods. Don't serve their gods. Don't do according to their works. You shall utterly overthrow them and break down their sacred pillars. Now, that's for them, not us, to break down stuff. We don't go tear people's stuff down. The point, though, is faith without works is dead faith. Is your faith dead? Or is your faith alive? Is your faith strong? Is your faith moving you to do things for the Lord? I don't mean just token stuff now, you know, back in the frat. You know, Pastor Mark, another brother, every Christmas time, they go out there, do all that shopping, buy up those gifts and toys and have the Kappa Alpha Psi toy giveaway. It was just Mark doing that, a couple of guys. But when the camera came, when it came time for the school newspaper and get that picture, all them cats are crowded up in there, crowd Mark out, you know what I'm saying? Get that picture. Kappa Alpha Psi, serving the community. You don't serve the community. If you do something, listen, something done one time a year is not serving. That's a photo op. If you serve, you do it all the time. Not every day always, but you do it consistently. Faith without works is what? So faith, you know, faith is not a show. Come on, faith is not a show. I remember this film. I won't go there. Okay. Now look at Matthew 23. Go watch my time here. Matthew 23. So then we understand that works are important, but here's the wrong context for it. Jesus said, 23rd chapter of Matthew, verse 5. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries abroad, is the edge of the garments, and enlarge the borders. What a phylactery is something. What a phylactery is anyway? Bertha, what a phylactery is? On their head. Thank you. All right. Stuff on their head. Okay. and enlarged the borders of their garments. So these folk wore the stuff on their head, the flowing garments, all their works they do to be seen by men. But then why did Jesus say this? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, some Christians got the idea that then, well, if I do good works, it should not be seen. I'm humble. I'm God's humble servant, you know. But the thing is, we don't let works be seen to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. Amen. I show the media camp video not to glorify me, but to glorify God, to show you what God can do through people who want to do something, you know, for 17 years and whatever long it's been. So my point is, yeah, we want to see what God is doing. We need to see, because otherwise all we see are things that are not honorable and are not good. So let us see the people of God doing works that glorify the Lord. Amen. Let your light so shine before men. Let them see the light, God's light, not your light, God's light. Now, the Pharisees had the opposite problem. They were doing stuff just to be seen, right? To get glory to themselves. They were not trying to honor and glorify God. They were trying to position themselves in the minds of people. Hey, we are somebody. We are important over here, you know. And that's why they were doing that. So they were both doing works. We do works. They did works. But the difference is our works are an assignment from God. Their works were an assignment unto themselves. Well, look at John chapter 9. Jesus said, he's our best example. He said in John 9 verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." They're speaking, you know, somewhat in a parable. The idea that, you know, the night is coming, meaning that obviously, you know, now in his day, it should be noted that when the sun went down, it was dark. I mean, if the moon wasn't out, it was pitch black everywhere. Unless the fire was burning someplace, you could not work it. Now, nowadays, we got 24-hour everything, 24-hour stores. And we have, you know, lights up. We have, you know, electric lights, all that. So different context. But the point he made was that there come a time when you cannot get things done. So you better get things done while you can. Amen? That's my mindset. I subscribe to what Jesus said wholeheartedly. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm not like old and ancient just yet. You know, what old is getting, I mean, old to me is like getting further ahead. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like 50 was old when I was 20. You know, that works out. Keep pushing the envelope back a little bit. But when you see folk leaving here who are the same age as you, it's like, okay, you know, that puts something on your mind right there, all right? Just not any fear, but the idea that I don't have forever to do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? So I don't waste any time anymore. Amen. If I choose to sit down and be still, that's my decision to rest and have leisure. If I want to waste my time, that's my business. But you can't waste none of my time. You know what I'm saying? All right. So the point is, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. So whatever God has assigned you to do, you should be about doing it. Amen. You should be about doing it. I don't mean doing things that, I mean, the things you do depend on what God has graced you to do. Don't compare works among people. That's a big, bad mistake. But do what it is you're supposed to do. Whether people see it or don't see it in big measure doesn't matter. Amen. All right. But please recognize, though, that faith is what's motivating our works. So then, we don't do things just so people can say, oh, he's such a man of faith. I mean, now, that is the objective to some, I believe, like the Pharisees. They wanted to give folk the impression they were somebody. But no, no, God sees through all that, doesn't he? And many people do too. We're talking about genuine faith, heartfelt faith. As Paul said, the spirit of faith, I believed and therefore I spoke. I believe and I acted. I'm just acting on what's in my heart from God. Now, Jesus gave us a good example of what our work should look like. Let me give you these points. Now, Jesus gave us what's called a great commission. We read in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He told us in different gospels, different things, make disciples, cast out demons, all these things. He said, raise the dead even. You know, he said, all these things he said do in his name. But so then Jesus then has the great commission. So then a commission, well, Jesus has the mission. First of all, it's mission, commission. The mission is the core work. So Christ has the mission to seek and save the lost. Well, a commission is an assignment given out of the larger mission. For example, a media camp. Now, it's my mission, you know, to hold a media camp. I told you why I'm doing it. You know, 2000, I was complaining about media, bad media, how it affected young folk. And God said, well, what you going to do about that? I said, well, I'll train young folk to become producers. So that's how it all began. That's my mission. Now, every year I have to commission instructors, right? People I hire to teach. And of course, my son Jonathan, but he was formerly a camper. I had instructors who taught him. So I've always had every year instructors. We sit down, we talk, we interview, we hire them, they work for me. And so that I commission them to do this work within the mission of this media camp, right? And every day we tell young people, every single day, God has put gifts inside of you. We're going to help you find those gifts and hold you accountable. So what you find, you're responsible for. What you know, you're responsible to act. All right, we pray every day, and we talk like that every day. So it's there's ministry in this thing, I promise you. But here's the point, though. So then all the folk who work for me are commissioned. And every now and then, somebody come up, you know, who's not taking this thing seriously. Somebody I hire who's not putting forth the effort, who's not taking hold of the mission the way that it's supposed to be taken hold of. So I got to either dismiss the person or not bring them back. Because I'm not, you know, I'm timed, you know, I don't have time for people who don't have time to be serious about what you said you would do. You know, I'm a whole different person. If you work for me, you know, you'll find out. You better be good. If I'm paying you money, I'm saying. Now, you know, if you work for me, I mean, volunteer is one thing. Helps ministry is different. But if I'm paying you money, say money. If I pay you, better be really good. And you will be good. And I'll help you be good if you want to be good. So the commission then, we have a commission from Jesus. So James said, faith without works is dead. So, man, he takes that seriously. How can we say we have faith in God and they do not have a corresponding action? He called us disciples. We're among those. He said, go out and go out into all the world and make disciples. We're one of those who are made disciples. We're one of those who are made disciples. And he said, now, teach them to observe all the things I have shown you, right? So then we are supposed to be learning and developing, and ultimately we are sharing what God has given us. Amen, church? Amen. It's a matter of taking what Jesus said to heart. So then we are commissioned in the following ways. First of all, we're commissioned to make disciples. Disciples means students, means learners. People need to learn about God, don't they? A lot of ignorance going around about the things of God. Folk don't read the Bible, don't know what the Bible says. So part of your job, once you convert, help people get converted, is to teach them the ways of God. Second is to preach the word of God with signs following. Now, signs that follow doesn't always mean that people get up out of wheelchairs and walk. Signs mean, it can also mean that a person, something on the inside of them just turns, they light up. They get a hold to something that God said through you. That something you say by the grace of God impacts them. They're like, you know, I get that. I see that. That's a sign to them. Whatever is, listen, y'all, a sign is something significant to the person who receives it. You believe that? So signs can be subtle or signs can be just gigantic. Third, we are called to do his works under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here's an amazing text. Look at John 14. John 14. This scripture here, when I first read it, in my first year of being a Christian, I really was amazed by it. Because I was hungry for God and interested in serving God. I was intrigued by, you know, Christians who served God and those who didn't. I was intrigued by all that. But then I read this in John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father." I want you to understand something. That's hard. I can't convey it the way I feel it now. But when I first read that, I mean, way back in the 80s, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my, my, my. He said, he assuredly said, the works that I have done, you will do. And my mind went to, of course, everything from preaching to walking on the water, raising the dead, fishing loaves, dividing. I went all the way out in my thinking. I was young and raw. Now, I learned quickly that it didn't mean I would do as good as him. For example, the kids in my camp, again, the camp just ended so I can use this example, youth in my camp, I had a class on graphics last week. I trained kids on graphics. I know graphics and photography. I know video, all that. But so then when I'm training someone, I'm saying to them, the works that I've done, you can do also. That's what I'm saying to young people, 12-year-old, 16-year-old. What I'm doing, what I do, you can do also. I said, Pastor, they can't do what you do. Oh, yeah, they can do it. Not as good as me. You follow me? They can't do it as well as me, not yet. So don't get focused on, I got to do as well as Jesus did. Do as much as he did. No, you can't. But you can do more in terms of all of us together, multiplied Christians all over the world, we can do at what Jesus, and did more than he did, more in terms of the quantity. You follow me? Amen. He was one person in one place at a time when he walked the earth. Amen. Now he's risen. When it says here in the text, it says there, and watch this, and greater works than these he would do because I go to my Father. When Christ went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit back to fill all of us, to empower us. It's the Spirit of Christ. You follow me? So that's how we're doing more, by doing it, many more people doing the same thing. So please be encouraged by that. Be challenged by that. The works, say this, say, Jesus, you said the works you have done, I would do also. I tell you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Still does. I'm challenged by it. Because it has to be true. He didn't lie when he said it. Amen? He's true what he said. So I'm still finding out the significance of it and reaching for that by the grace of God. So then his mission is our commission. We're going to make disciples, preach the word, do works. We're going to be lights in the dark world. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I'm almost done here. Philippians 2. Talking about faith and corresponding action. You know, I remember that series with Golden State and Cleveland, and Cleveland went down, you know, 3-1, and everybody said it's over. I said it's over, you know. I'm with them. It's over, man. I'm over. It's over. It's over. No one has ever come back from 3-1 in the finals before. Never happened before. Never happened. But somebody decided they could. And they did, amen? And it shut down Steph, you know? It broke people's heart. Little cute Steph. put a big body on somebody cute, you're going to shut him right down, okay? No, he's a godly man. He's a good man, too. But, you know, God don't win, lose. God don't play basketball. So don't forget that I said that, okay? He don't play basketball. Okay, he don't care who wins, who loses the basketball game. All right. Now, look, watch this. Philippians chapter 2. This is very powerful. It's speaking to us. Let it speak to you very personally, very directly, and may it encourage you. Philippians 2, and look at verse 16. Now, the whole context, I've got to back up a little bit here, because it said in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, as in, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, please hear this. He don't say work for your salvation. He said work out, which means work it from the inside to the outside. What you have in you, let it out. Let it come out. Then it goes on, verse 13, for there's God working in you, both will and do of his good pleasure. That's how it's all possible. It's all possible because God's working in us. Now, come to verse 15. That you can become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Pretty strong, isn't it? Pretty strong talk. You know, God thinks a lot about you. You know, God has confidence in you. Again, with the camp, we bring youth in here on Monday, and we tell them now, we say, hey, now you are now digital media artists. Say, I am an artist. Knowing that they don't feel it, I'm not feeling this right now. But see, I know what's going to happen from Monday to Friday. I know what's going to happen. They don't know, I know. We know, the team knows. We're going to help them become what we said they are. That's how God feels about you. Right? Work it out. Just work it out, right? He says this, holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Is it crooked out here?
Yes,
is it perverse?
Yes.
Y'all know it's perverse, y'all. I hear statements like, I can't even say what I heard. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I should share one of them. Oh, man. I got to share one because it's appropriate. Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn, became a woman, but still got his package, okay? He said, I'm a lesbian now because I'm not attracted to women. I got it backwards. See, it's so perverse, it make your mind go crazy. He said, I'm not attracted to women. But, so now he's a woman. He's a lesbian. He's a lesbian. Because he thinks he's a she. But he got a package. Move right along. So, hold forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you do what?
Shine.
Now, that's the part we got a problem with. We don't shine. Now, see, what I just said just then, I was actually shining a light. I wasn't putting him down. I just said what he said. And now I know, people don't like that nowadays, but that's what shining a light looked like sometime. You got to say what you see. Amen? And we're becoming we are a dying breed. We who say what we see and say it in love. All right. Moving right along. We got to move from that. I miss you. Lord, help us. Lord, cleanse our minds. Y'all got stuff in your mind. Lord, help us. Get the thought. That thought, Lord, let it leave us. Finish up here. Watch this. So Jesus, the Bible says that now, he has come to bring grace and truth. Last scripture, look at Acts chapter 10. So then his commission becomes His mission becomes our commission. And so we find the basis of faith and works just by following the one who sent us, who first saved us and sent us. It's that simple. We don't make it up. We don't have to, you know, create something of ourselves. Just follow the one who saved us. In Acts 10, love this scripture, verse 38, and let this be true for you. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Say amen, church.
Amen.
Let's try. Say, Lord, thank you. You have anointed me as my Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, because you are with me. Amen. Let's all stand. That's how we